This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops, just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Welcome to the Boneyard with Steve Robertson. As always, I am your good friend and host, Steve Robertson. Back in Stark, Vegas. Got a couple hours sleep. Thought about recording this show when I first got home, but I said, you know what? I probably wouldn't do a good job with this. Took the red eye home from Phoenix, and it's already been a full day, and it's not a full day yet. So we'll have a little bit of an abbreviated edition of the yard today. We won't do a top 10 list. We'll do a couple other things, but kind of look at a few things that are going on with this ball game between State and Tennessee. We'll take a look at kind of the series historically. But also, I'm going to give you kind of my keys to victory and what I think Mississippi State must do in order to win this ball game. Yeah, for sure. We'll take a preview of the rest of the league and kind of talk about that. Got a few other things that we'll share, you know. One of the things I want to talk to you guys about, too, and there's a lot that I could say, you know, in a classic Robertson rant, but, what if I told you that you have access to the same treatment that the Navy SEALs use for physical and mental recovery? You know, what if I told you that the same tools that Tom Brady and Steph Curry used to keep their own bodies in good shape was available to you right here in Starkville? Well, you say, but Steve, well, what is it? Well, it's the True Rest Float Spa of Starkville. And we had the convention in beautiful Scottsdale, Arizona. And it was hot out there, but it's a little different kind of heat. But it is hot, right, as the alarm goes off. Yeah, I took a little bit of a nap and thought about going back to sleep, but I had too much to do. But there's some cool things that are happening. We're about to add some new methods, I guess you could say, at our float spa. It's so interesting. You know, we first began this, people were like, well, Steve, I don't know how this is going to work. And, well, it's worked out really well. And it's worked to the point that we're now ready to expand some of our services. Matter of fact, I'll be meeting with Will from Tabor here pretty soon to kind of begin detailing out a little small build out for some other amenities we're going to make available to you at True Rest Float Spa Starkville. But every time that I'm going, I'm around these people, my belief in what we're doing is reinvigorated. I believe in floating. I think it's a wonderful thing. It's done incredible things for my anxiety. Incredible things. We've also got some clients that have been able to get off some medication. And I think that's a great thing. Anytime we can get people off any kinds of drugs, I think it's a great thing. Because in many respects, and listen, we got some very, very talented healthcare providers out there. We do. But, you know, everybody talks about big pharma and things like that. There are a lot of people out there that will tell you, man, you can't fix yourself. Here's some medicine. And the next thing you know, you become somewhat reliant. I was on Lexapro for years. And one day my wife just said, you know, I think this is kind of muting your emotions. You know, you kind of lost your twinkle a little bit. And so I got off of it. I kind of tapered off of it. It was tough for a couple months, but I was fine. But I'm very grateful that I don't have to take that. There are some medications I have to take somewhat regularly just so I can keep the rat in a race. But that's no longer one of them. And so if you're a person that maybe that's been maybe the methodology to your treatment for it be anxiety or chronic pain, we may have a solution for you. And I am more convinced than ever that we're doing great things to help other people. And busy day to day. We shut the spa down for a couple days to go out to Scottsdale. And, you know, there's some scheduling things that we'll probably do a little bit differently moving forward. Because, you know, when you first get started, I mean, you just want to make it available to everybody every single day. But we're going to take some holiday breaks so we can spend a little more time together as a family. I know those of you that really love me are in favor of that. But I think you should give it a try. And even if it's just the novelty of it, right? But this is not a luxury experience. We have a lot of people that that float regularly because they have found that there are benefits to it. You know, I always tell people that one of the things I learned in retail furniture is people don't buy or spend their money on services that are just about features. You buy for the benefits, right? So you purchase the float or a float package. Well, then the quality of your sleep typically gets better. You know, all those little aches and pains become a little easier to deal with. So if you're one of those kinds of people, or perhaps you just need a mental reset. And it's incredible too, like there's a study that we were able to kind of work through. We're part of a bigger group that kind of studies the impacts of floating on people. And they work with a bunch of student athletes. And it was a study done on behalf of like kind of sports, fitness, and wellness. And it was incredible, the benefits. And you can find that online if you're so inclined to do so. But yeah, I believe in what we're doing. And also, too, we won something, which is super cool, right? We won the golden ticket, which means that corporate's got to pay for a lot of our advertising during the holiday season. I mean, it's like you spend all this money to go, and it's kind of a bit of a vacation, and you kind of reconnect with people in your tribe. But then, too, you leave with the golden ticket, where basically the trip that you spent out there is essentially paid for. Cool thing. And there was only two locations that got the golden tickets. We were one of them. And Amir, the guy that runs our socials, many of you during the Mother's Day and Father's Day, you're like, man, I couldn't get away from these ads. Well, that's why. Amir does a great job kind of using that funnel and putting us up on the ladder of awareness. But many of you have thought about it, you've heard about it, and you've had your neighbors do it. You think, well, man, I don't know if that's for me or not. Well, I would suggest it probably is. And it's not just one of these things, too, where you just go hang out for a while. There's a lot to it. And one of the best things about it, too, is people have kind of found out how well I've married. I did a lot of things wrong in life, but I got that one right. I got that one right. So dial 662-268-7601 to get more information about floating. And, yeah, you can go look at all the videos and stuff on our social medias, which is always a great thing. Be sure and check that out. But we like to keep the business here in Starkville. So if you want to buy a package or buy a float, do it through us. Another thing that I want to talk about before we kind of get into our keys to victory and things of that nature, you know, it amazes me how flying and traveling across the country, so many people basically make the classic book, Lord of the Flies, kind of come true. Like it's so incredible. Like, and I'm gonna rant just here for a minute because I flew just fine. Okay, we had great flights. Really didn't have any issues at all. Matter of fact, as soon as we got to Phoenix and walked to baggage claim, there's our suitcase. I mean, it's like immediately everything went great. Everything was great. Everything. Food wasn't nearly as good as I hoped, but everything else was great. But what's interesting to me is how many people want to game the system and get caught to the inconvenience of other people? It just drives me nuts, man. It really does. My wife's like, oh, you shouldn't let that stuff bother you. Well, there's just a sense of self-entitlement. It just absolutely is offensive to me. Of all the things that we're going to get offended about, That's one of the ones that I think is top of the list. So I'll give you a great example. You know, you have to pay to check a bag. Okay, and that sucks, but that's the price of poker these days. But it's amazing the way people will try to circumvent the system. Like, this morning, I guess we flew out about 11 o'clock mountain time from Phoenix. And that it's a packed flight to Atlanta. I mean, who knew, right, that you'd have 240-something people on a plane at midnight flying to Atlanta. But we did. And these poor people that work, for their airlines, right? I feel a sense of empathy for them because there are so many people that think they know better. They know an easier, softer way. And so it was one example. Like last night, they said, okay, listen, we're not going to be able – we have no more room in the overhead compartments. So we're going to have to check every bag. And we're going to do it for free, which I think is a bit of an issue anyway. But I digress. And so they make the announcement. There is no more room for any more wheeled suitcases. You're going to have to check it on the jetway, or you can go ahead and do it now. And people just go get in line like they didn't hear the announcement. They made it like three times. And then they get up there, and the ladies are so nice, right? Now, I've had a couple times where TSA people have kind of gotten under my skin. But, you know, the folks that work for the airline itself, I'm sure they've seen and heard it all. But it's so irritating to me. It's like, you heard the announcement. But for some reason, you think, well, that doesn't apply to me. Well, it applies to you. Then there was this lady, right, because, you know, they give you the carry-on and then the one personal item, right? She has a backpack that is so packed, it looks like she has like a little mini college refrigerator in her backpack. Then she has her rolling suitcase, and then another bag on top of that, and then her purse. It's four items, ma'am. And we're sitting there, and of course, we're already like 30 minutes late. The plane's a little bit late getting there. And of course, there's all this other, you know, self-entitlement run riot. And she gets up there, and I told Dana, I said, they're going to stop her. And lo and behold, they get there. And then she wants to kind of complain that she has to check all these bags. And the lady's like, well, man, we're doing it for free as a courtesy because we're so full. And you and I both know she knew that she should have paid for those bags. But she found a crease in the system to make it work for her. But I just think about your fellow passengers, right? I didn't bring anything on. We checked one bag and got to traveling. And it's so interesting too, and you know what I'm talking about, those of you that fly a good bit or you fly somewhat regularly. Like there's always those people too that like want to beat everybody like it's a competition. Like they stand up as soon as the plane stops moving and they just kind of get there. And we don't do any pre-work. Like we won't go ahead and open up the overhead compartment and go ahead and get our items out, which I think is the whole purpose for getting up early. I mean, I'm tall, so I need to get up and stretch sometimes, but it's crazy. And one of the final things I'll say, and I'll move on because I don't want to come across like a whiner. For those of you that board early, you know, if we just give it 5 minutes, right? If we just give it 5 minutes, everybody will be on the plane. And then if you want to get up and check something in your bag, which is weird anyway to me, like why wouldn't you already be prepared? Like you get on the plane first, you know, you're in zones one and two. And so why do we need to get up again and then make everybody else, hundreds of people, wait because you forgot to check your bag? Be prepared. And I even told one guy too, Dana didn't like it I've worked a program of rigorous honesty. There was one guy sitting in first class, got up, had everybody waiting, and went to go sit down, and then realized he forgot and got right back up. And so when I saw the guy, I walked by him, I said, let's be prepared next time, okay? Let's be prepared next time. So if you're that guy, stop being that guy. Let's thank our friends at Bulldog Burger Company, longtime sponsors of this show. I missed Bulldog Burger Company when I was out there, and I plan to partake at some point this weekend. Kind of got to cleanse a little bit of the bland palate that I had out there. It's interesting to me. You know, you go to the Southwest, you look for authentic food, and they kind of, I don't know, kind of dumb it down a little bit. I want the real thing, right? I want the real deal. And you can get the real deal at Bulldog Burger Company. I love going in there. There's just such consistency. You know, it's just a symphony of taste when I go in there. I get the spring rolls as my appetizer more times than not. It's part of my beauty care regimen. As you know, they make you and everybody around you better looking. Makes the world a more beautiful place. And then I find a hamburger that kind of fits my hankering for that day. Some days it's the Bulldog. Other days it's the Pimentology. Or maybe it's the Bryant or the Lauren, the Freshman 15. There's so many great ones to choose from. And be sure and ask about the specials. Three great locations to serve you: University Drive in Stark Vegas, Gloucester Street there in Tupelo, Lake Harbor Drive in the Ridge and Flowood area. Get that chocolate shake to go. You can ride that ride home with a smile. And they got a lot of different flavors you can choose from. A little traveling tip: what I like to do is once I'm polishing off my entree, even if I get dessert or not, I go ahead and tell them, hey, I'm going to get a shake to go. Because, it, you know, they do them right then and there. They're not just kind of sitting around in a freezer waiting for you. They're made to order, which makes them even better. They're just so fresh. So that's what I do. Like, right when I know the meal, before I even, I don't even make them ask me. Like, I say, hey, when we're getting done with the meal, I'm going to be adding the Nutella shake. That's going to be my dessert. I'm going to drink it on the way home. And they get it ready for you. So you can kind of time your own meal out there, too. And, again, kind of be considerate of other people, right? You don't want just to be sitting there occupying somebody's table. Bulldog Burger Company, the place where people go to meet. M-E-A-T. Okay, I'm kind of tired of talking about cowbells. And I'm tired of everybody else talking about cowbells. And when I say everybody else, I mean like other SEC teams. We don't need any opinions or any lectures on how to act from anybody else. We're going to abide by the rules. Everything is going to be fine. This week, it's like every week, we always have some distraction that we're talking about. And then it kind of makes its way into the media, and the coaches get asked about it. I mean, it's not worthy of our time and effort. Now, the flip side of it is yeah, we got to be in compliance. And that's where it needs to stop, okay? Simple as that. We know the rules. We've got a new set of students that have never had to encounter this. We've got a new administration that is kind of dealing with it for the first time. But take it as a compliment. It's because people are scared to come here and play because you have given Mississippi State a tremendous home field advantage. Nobody worried about our cowbells in 23 and 24. I mean, did you see all these online petitions and people trying to suggest that they should email Greg Sankey and let their voices be heard, which means nothing? What did Stu Scott say? Full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. It's nothing, dude. I mean, and where do you have to be in your life, too, that you're firing off a pithy email about another team's tradition? Like, should we, like, go petition and say, well, hey, guys, Tennessee doesn't need to play Rocky Top anymore. Alabama should stop doing, the whole Rammer Jammer thing again. Dixieland Delight, now can't do that anymore. And they didn't for a while. They brought it back. Yeah, I think maybe we should outlaw that profanity-laced cheer up the road at Oxford. And maybe that's a cause we can get behind. My point being is that, you know, we shouldn't have a say.
No one plans for hair loss, but through Hims, you can take the next step with confidence. Access treatments made with clinically proven ingredients like finasteride and minoxidil to stop hair loss and regrow hair in 3 to 6 months. No waiting rooms, no hoops. Just ingredients with a track record of results. You shouldn't have to go out of your way to feel like yourself. Hims brings expert care straight to you with 100% online access to personalized treatments that put your goals first. For simple online access to personalized and affordable care for hair loss, ED, weight loss, and more, visit hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for your free online visit. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This Black Friday, get 6 months free when you move your WordPress sites to Kinsta. Enjoy faster load times, no stress when traffic spikes, and hosting you can actually count on. We're G2's number one rated host for WordPress. For a reason. Visit kinsta.com/BF. That's KINSTA.com/BF. Don't miss out. Offer ends December 2nd.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. And sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.
What other teams in this league do on game day, and they shouldn't have any say in what we do on game day. So I'm tired of talking about it. I know many of you guys are too. We have a huge game coming up, and that should be the focus, and that's going to be the basically the content of the rest of our show. So I want to start with what I think needs to happen in order for State to get a win. I don't want to put numbers on this stuff because I, with a busy week, I didn't really work it down the way that I would like to. So I don't want to just throw numbers at you. First and foremost, Mississippi State's got to keep Blake Shapen upright. Tennessee's got 15 sacks. They're getting Moy back, which is significant. You know, he's not 100%, but he's one of their best defensive linemen. They'll get him back. And so, you know, we've got an offensive line that has kind of played a little game of musical chairs from time to time. And so those guys may have not had the cohesion. The flip side of it is Tennessee's kind of right there, too, on their defensive front. They got some guys that can really play, but they haven't had the full arsenal available. We got to do a good job protecting the quarterback, period. And if we do, I think we have an excellent chance to win this football game. I don't think that Tennessee secondary can stand up to the Mississippi State passing attack. They need to be able to influence Blake Shapen. Now, I also think you got to roll Shapen around a little bit. You can't just sit back there behind center and just play pitch and catch. I don't think they're going to let you do that. I think you got to roll him around. And I know sometimes that limits your options on the pass tree. I get that. But you could roll him out there and get some high-low concept going and also give him the opportunity to run if he needs to. I know we don't want him to run a whole lot. But I don't think you can just kind of sit back there. We talk about opponent-specific wrinkles. This is one of them. This is going to be one of the best defensive fronts that we see all year. And certainly in this, you know, front seven or so. I mean, got a good linebacker room. They do. And so we've given up some sacks that are a little bit silly. At times, that's not on the offensive line. I can take you through. I guess I think both of the sacks we gave up against Alcorn State is because a tight end or a running back didn't handle their responsibilities in pass pro. We got to be clean with that. We have to be clean with that this week. Number two, we got to be able to run the football. And we talked extensively last year about that front at Tennessee, about it may be the most talented defensive front that we see all year. And I suspect in some respects that it was. Teams were not doing a good job running the football against them. However, State was able to find a little success. And so I think if you're Jeff Lebby, which I'm not, but I think and you're not either, but I think if you're Leb, I think you got to go back and kind of look at some of the things that worked last year and maybe you add some other kind of opponent-specific wrinkles. But, yeah, you lose that game 33-14, but we kind of felt like going into that thing that it was going to be difficult to run the football. Now, late in the game, it was because the game got separated from us and we had to kind of be a little more one-dimensional trying to play a little bit of catch-up. But, you know, when just kind of look going back and looking at this thing, you know, State – only had 15 first downs. That's not going to win you any ball games. But none of those came on the ground. And State ran for 179 yards, which was one of the highest totals that Tennessee allowed last year. And so I think there is some room there. We actually we rushed for 211, but you know, after a couple sacks and things like that, they flushed those things out of there. But we ended up losing 32 yards in those respects. But you know, so we got to make sure we don't lose in that respect. We got to make sure we go out there and run the football and then kind of make them respect the fact that we can be two-dimensional. I think there's also some things that you can do to really tax that secondary. And one of those is getting the running game going where they have to commit a safety or two into the box. And that's the last thing that I think Tennessee wants to do. They are well aware that secondary's got a lot of problems. They've had some injuries. They got some guys that have been out that are still out. And so you've got some younger guys and some guys with not a lot of experience, especially against SEC athletes, that are having to compete in a very unforgiving conference. So if you can establish some run and force them to respect the run, it opens up the passing game. Now, they want to kind of do the same thing too. And that's really the difference in the ballgame last year. Is that people forget, we knocked Nico out of the game. We did. But they ended up running the football for 240 yards. And a lot of that came in the second half. Because Nico wasn't in the ballgame, but also, too, I think Heupel was like, you know what, well, we just got to get the game over. You know, Dylan Sampson had 30 carries for 149 yards. I actually voted for him in the Heisman last year. He was my third place vote. The SEC Offensive Player of the Year, I think every year should be considered for the Heisman. While I wouldn't give him my first or second vote, I did vote him as my third pick in the Heisman Trophy. And Davin Booth ran for 125 yards last year in this game. And I think most people would agree that this Mississippi State running back room is more talented than what we had last year. Johnny Daniels last year, 10 for 63. And I do believe he's probably done at Mississippi State. I think that he will ultimately redshirt, and we will invest those carries in Xavier Gayton, which is pretty much what Jeff Lebby has now said post-game last week and then again this week in the Monday presser. He didn't come out and say Johnny's redshirting, but I think you can read between the lines there. But when you go back and look at all this, they averaged 4.2 yards a carry. Mississippi State averaged 4.7 yards a carry. So I think there are some gains to be had in the running game. But I think ultimately this game is going to be decided when Tennessee has the football. I think we're going to be able to score. Are we going to be able to prevent them from scoring? And that's the thing. You go back and look, like we talked about Nico. He was 8 of 13 last year for 174 yards and a couple touchdowns. One of those came on a 73-yard pass, and we were doing such a good job in the game, and that kind of broke our backs a little bit. But you go back in hindsight, and you begin to think, what did we learn last year that can help us this year? And we're doing some different concepts defensively, not tremendously. I mean, a lot of the same alignment, a lot of the same personnel groups. But we're doing things a little bit different. And by and large, when it's come to our pressures, we have been, kind of interestingly enough, very vanilla. And we're 4-0 right now. But you go back and look at this thing, Tennessee got up 14-0 in that game. And then we go 16 plays, 75 yards, and then make it a one-score game. They go back and make it a field goal, push it back out. And then right before the half, we kind of mismanage things, and they got another field goal. And then a 51-yarder in the midway through the third makes it a 23-7 game. And then, lo and behold, Johnny Daniels breaks loose. It's a 23-14 game with about 6 minutes to go in the third quarter. So you're thinking, man, we are in this thing. We are in it. We just needed to get a stop, and unfortunately we couldn't. And that's when they just kind of got loose, and Sampson had a 33-yard scamper to make it a 30-14 game. And at that point, you kind of felt like the game was over. But, you know, again, you go back and look in hindsight here, and Tennessee was a playoff team. And that's not a surprise to anybody that paid attention last year, that they really did a good job. And so we got to learn from last year. We have a better team from last year. Does Tennessee have as good a running game as they did last year? I would say no, but it's not far off. They don't have a Heisman candidate, but they're still running the football, and that's kind of a staple of the Heupel offense, is they want to be able to establish the run to set up, you know, matchups that are advantageous to their wide receivers. And, you know, I think that's the job one for us, is you've got to make them make plays. You can't just go out there and let them just kind of run a basic offense and just dictate terms to you. You got to make them do things to put pressure on the quarterback. You got to put the game on his shoulders. And Aguilar has answered the bell. I don't think there's any question about it. I think he has exceeded expectations. But this running game is interesting. You know, you've got four guys that have done a really good job. One of them, Don Morris, is still out. But Star Thomas and Deshaun Bishop are basically thing one and thing two. And I think between the two of them, they've had two combined negative plays Yeah, and that says a lot about that offensive line, too, giving those guys some room to run. Peyton Lewis has done a good job for them, too. Has really kind of come on here as of late. But, you got three running backs that have three touchdowns or more already. And, again, they don't have, like, that one bell cow like they did with Samson last year. But it's still the same offense. The personnel is different, but the philosophy is still the same. So we've got to win on first down. And that's so incredibly important on both sides of the football. And you went on first down on offense, all of a sudden you're in second, medium, and second manageable. And on defense, if you're able to, you know, to get them for no gain or a TFL and put them behind the chains, it changes the play calling. And then you're not going to run the football quite as often in those scenarios. But I think that's important to kind of understand. But, you know, this game, to me, will be decided in Mississippi State's ability to stop the Tennessee running game. If State can have some success slowing down the Tennessee running game, I think it gives you a great chance to win the game. Because Jeff Lebby is no dummy, right? Jeff Lebby doesn't need either one of us to just kind of show up and say, hey, coach, I think we can make some plays down the field. We absolutely can. And we got a couple of bona fide SEC receivers in Brennan Thompson and Anthony Evans that have played in this league and are really kind of finding a sense of themselves in this offense. And I think most of you guys probably feel better about the wide receiver group, or at least as good as you did last year at this point. And we've had a lot less drama. That was one of the things kind of heading into this year, is we got a lot, you know, a lot better cast of characters. That's an important aspect to understand, too. But at the end of the day, too, you begin to think about playing this game at home in front of a very hungry fan base. And this is where I think the cowbells may backfire on them a little bit. You make it an issue, it becomes an issue, right? If you had just kind of done your thing, it's just the regular issue. But this fan base is rejuvenated. This fan base also saw the impact in the Arizona State game. And so as a result, there's a lot of people that can't wait for the Volunteers to get here because they feel like, hey, this validates us. We win this game, knock off another top 15 opponent, get out to a 5-0 start, and win our first SEC game. Our next win makes us bowl eligible, and then we're playing for postseason and positioning. There are a lot of people that completely understand what's at stake in this ball game. Now, it's not going to break our season, but it could potentially make our season. And I think some of you see that for what it really is. And I think when you begin to kind of make all these little silly things, and we'll get orange cowbells, and we need to email the league office, it's just kind of poking the bear, man. You know, and again, this is a fan base that is hungry to win again. You know, we've been embarrassed the last couple of years. We have been. And that's not to take a shot at anybody. But we are a very proud people. We have a little blue-collar grit and quiet dignity about us. But when all of a sudden you start making all these claims and, you know, making all this, sending off your little emails and things like that, you're just kind of inflaming the situation. And I think that could be a real factor. You students, I love you all. We need you to be here for the second half. My hope is Mississippi State can avoid giving up two scores in the first quarter. That's one of the things. State and Tennessee both, if I'm not mistaken, have scored on all four first drives. And so you look at that, okay, well, it works out, you know, six one way, half a dozen the other. We can't get down two scores and have to chase this game. Because if they get up two scores, they're going to try to rely on that running game and just kind of compress the game, right? And, you know, Hype and Lebby obviously have some history. They're not the best of friends, but they're friendly, right? But at the end of the day, it's about principles, not personalities. But I think that both guys will probably understand what the other wants to do when they have the football. These are two guys that are very accomplished as play callers. And so we need you guys to be loud and proud, and we need the Bulldogs to get off to a good start. The thing that I think about, just like the Arizona State game, I think the principle still applies. If we score twice in the first quarter, we've got a great chance to win this football game. If we avoid ever going down two scores, we've got a great chance to win this football game. We're not breaking any news there. But that was basically what we said before Arizona State, and both of those things happened. State scored twice in the first quarter, and how many times last year did we see it? We scored 65 first quarter points last year, 65 in the full calendar year. And so we're constantly chasing the game in 2024. Well, that hadn't been the case in 2025. Home game, you go out there, you score, you get the crowd ignited, and people begin to think this could be a special night. We got to hang in here. Nobody call an Uber. We don't have to run out of here and go get beat the crowd to dinner. We could be witnessing something special here. And so you got to give the crowd a reason to believe, especially early. You got to keep people engaged. And it's an afternoon game. Wish it was a night game, like every one of you. You know, I think we get the short end of the stick, but that's a product of us having back-to-back losing seasons. And honestly, I think if we had gotten enough votes, we were 27 in the polls. I think if we actually ended up top 25 last week, maybe you start considering that. We 29th last week when they made the decision and 27th this week. If we had found a way to get in there before, in a top 25 matchup, it kind of forces the hand of the ESPN SEC decision makers, but we didn't. We got to just jump on board with what we have and go win games. And we knew Tennessee was going to be a good team this year. We have made this a big game. Mississippi State has made this a big game, because if we were just kind of more of the same last year, the only people that are going to tune in to watch it are going to be State and Tennessee fans. I think it's a little different now. Now, it should be a good day tomorrow. The low of 60, the high of 82. So, you know, fall is kind of on its way. But the high, the apex of our temperature tomorrow is going to come right around kickoff. And then it'll begin to kind of taper off into the evening hours. But 82 feels like a vacation compared to what we've had recently. And so we had false fall. Now it appears now we're kind of in real fall. And, of course, that means that we'll have fall for about 4 days, and then it'll be incredibly cold. And maybe there's that one last gasp of summer that comes back just on weekends when you wanted to wear your favorite quarter zip. Makes it too warm. But I think the weather is favorable. I think the crowd is going to be favorable. I think the matchup doesn't really favor either one unless you just look at the total talent level of the two teams. I do think Tennessee is more talented than Mississippi State. I don't really know what they have in Joey Aguilar. I know he has exceeded expectations, but this is going to be really the first real road game for him in an SEC environment. And you had the neutral site game against Syracuse, and everything else has been at home when everybody loves you and everything is favorable. But the Hounds of Hail are about to be turned loose at Davis-Wade Stadium. And so how will he handle that? I think the more pressure that the crowd can apply, the game can apply, and the defense can apply, will really kind of show who he is. And you know what? He may rise to the challenge and do a great job. He may, or he may fold under the pressure. And there's a reason UCLA was looking for a quarterback, right? They felt like they were upgrading by taking Nico, apparently. Now, of course, if I'm Nico, I can't wait to get back in the portal again. It blew up in their face, and maybe they didn't know what they were talking about at UCLA. Maybe Joey was better than Nico. I think Tennessee fans are pretty happy with the trade. But you never know how to accurately predict future human performance. That's the most difficult thing to do in life, not just in sports. You know, how do people handle the variables that a road game brings? And that, you kind of go back and look a little bit at last year. As great as that year was for Tennessee, I mean, and we'll do it real quickly here. We kind of touched on this earlier, you know, when we in the week when we did our preview. But, you know, they blasted those non-conference opponents, including that NC State game. But a lot of those were at home. And then, again, they go on the road at Oklahoma. And you guys remember what Oklahoma was. That seemed like a big game at the time. You know, Oklahoma ended up not being a great team. You know, kind of, you know, they get the helmet sticker benefit of the doubt in the eyes of some pollsters. But that Oklahoma 2024 team wasn't great. All those receivers left, like Brennan Thompson, of course, and Jackson Arnold got out of there. They're playing well now. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. But I think in hindsight, it kind of showed that perhaps that win was not quite as significant as it appeared to be at the time. I think that's a fair assessment. You know, and it's really about when you play them, you know, because there's always something, right? There's something that kind of grates on the human psyche over the course of a sports season. You know, all of a sudden you think, man, maybe we're not as good as we thought. But Oklahoma finished 6-7 last year. And at the time, people were like, oh, this is great. This is great. What a great win for Tennessee. And I'm sure it was a big one for hype, obviously, being a former Sooner quarterback. But again, once we got more information, you look back and say, you know what? Maybe it wasn't quite so good. And that's a 25-15 game. The defense has played well, for sure. Then they go to Arkansas, and then I wouldn't say that Razorback Stadium is an insane SEC environment. All due respect to the Arkansas fans, who I think do a great job out in the hog pen at Bomb Walker. It's a little different scenario to me. And maybe it's the construction of the venue itself. It's, to me, it has never felt like a very intimidating environment. But Tennessee went up there last year and kind of got swallowed up in all of that. It's a 19-14 game. I don't know if you guys remember what a shock that was. A lot of people were kind of on board with Tennessee's going to be a great team, and then they lose that game, and people are all of a sudden kind of in doubt about, you know, what that thing's about. Guys, it was 3-0 at the break. Tennessee offense couldn't get anything going. And that's what Nico and Dylan Sampson ends up running for 138 yards in this ball game. So they were able to find some success on the ground, just couldn't get the ball in the end zone. And then they rally back after the third period. It's 14-10 Tennessee, and then they don't even score in the fourth quarter. So you score twice, and both of them in the same quarter after you make some halftime adjustments, and then once Arkansas adjusted, all of a sudden they shut you out. They shut you out 3 out of 4 quarters. And so again, talking about road games, right? You go to Oklahoma and you win. You put up 25 points. You go to Arkansas, you lose. And Arkansas wasn't a great team last year, but they were pretty good. They were. You know, you get a couple of home wins here, you start feeling good. Then you got to go to Georgia. And I think Georgia is a great environment. It's not on the LSU side of things, but I think it's better than Alabama. And you go there and you put up 17 points. And then you go to Vanderbilt, and obviously that was going to be a raucous environment, even though they don't buy a lot of tickets. But you find a way to win that game. So again, you go back last year and like look at true road games for them. It didn't work out well. I mean, it truly didn't. You know, so that was a playoff team last year. Could be a playoff team again this year. You know, we'll see how things kind of, you know, work themselves out. But they were not a great road team last year. And now you've got a guy that's having to kind of do it for the first time in the SEC. Let's just kind of be honest with this stuff, too. I mean, I think everybody kind of sees it for what it is. This is a different animal. You know, I mean, again, he makes the move to UCLA and then is there no time because he started last year at App State, but completed 55.9% of his passes and threw 14 picks last year. Now, Heupel obviously has enhanced that, right? They've done some good things there with him. But he had a better year in many respects in 2023 and then kind of took a step back last year and decided, hey, I'm going to go in the portal. And then next thing you know, he ends up landing in Tennessee, basically in kind of a de facto trade. But he's never really had to do it. He's never had to go into just a wild, raucous atmosphere and then show that he can lead a team down the field. Those things matter. I mean, you don't know what you don't know until you realize you don't know it. When you're forced to know it, that's when you kind of realize, hey, we got to find a way to enhance our coping skills here. But I go back and just kind of look at this 2024 thing. I mean, so from his time at App State last year, went on the road and played at Clemson and got beat 66-20. He was 18 of 41 in that game. Didn't throw a pick, got sacked once, but wasn't a great game. And he didn't play defense, but he didn't help the offense a lot either. Guys, everybody else they played were like FCS or G5 teams. And yeah, he threw for 3,003 yards, which was less than what he did the year before. And so again, he's kind of had the career reset. But outside of a great game when he was kind of an unknown back in 23, when they went on the road and nearly pulled off the upset of North Carolina in double overtime, I don't know that he's played in an atmosphere like he's going to see. And of course, hey, he may come out here and pack our lunch for us. Maybe. But again, there's just so many variables with this, you just simply don't know. All right, it's time for our Close with Blair player of the game, right, of the day, I guess. We're going to go with Albert Reese. And before we do, and before I explain why we're going with Albert, let's let you know about Blair Chandler. If you're looking for a home or you've always dreamed of that opportunity, don't overthink it. Call Blair Chandler at 601-500-2344. 601-500-2344. There's some life hacks out there they don't tell you about. That's one of them. Having a great loan originator. And that's Blair Chandler. 24 years of experience in this industry. Nobody stays in any industry 20 plus years by accident. Nobody. And it's important for you to know that. So whether you're looking for your first home, your next home, or your retirement home, Blair Chandler is a name to know. Save that number on your phone and just put mortgage guy. Right? He won't be offended. Blair Chandler is your mortgage guy. He's also a Bulldog through and through. Understands how interest rates work. Knows when it's a good time to buy or when it's a good time to sell. But you know what? Life may throw you a curveball. You may not be able to wait so he can get you the best deal possible. Reach out to Blair Chandler at closewithblair.com. Albert Reese is important, in my estimation, because we have to limit front side pressure as I pop open a Coke Zero. That's a non-paid endorsement. But we need Reese to shore up his side. Number one, I think we can run off the right side. But I think more importantly, you got to keep Blake clean, and I think they're going to bring some front side pressure by design to influence a quarterback. And I think Albert is a guy that has proven to be one of our better linemen. As he won the Hull Trophy last year. I mean, don't give that to random clowns, right? So we need Albert to have a big day. We need Albert to do well. Albert could make some money because everybody understands how vicious this Tennessee front can be, and you go out there and you kind of make your way with them, you begin to rise on some draft boards. Extremely important game for Albert Reese. I think Albert Reese will be instrumental to Mississippi State's success. Again, no top 10 list today, but I want to tell you, I've missed being able to play my guitar from Kalito Guitars in recent days, and on Sunday I plan to play for an hour or so. Sometimes you need to do some things for yourself. For me, just being able to get out there and play a little bit, to make some music, you know, work through some stuff. I've been kind of working on Bang a Gong, I miss that. I don't know that I'll ever play it live anywhere, but I enjoy playing for myself. Maybe you play for yourself, or maybe you play for raving fans at venues all across the country. I don't know your needs or your life, but I know this. I know that you can get a quality instrument from Kalita Guitars at a discount just by being a listener to this show. Whether you stop by their great showroom in Lake Jackson, Texas, or you call in the order or you order online, promo code BSR works for you. That gets you a 10% discount off your purchase. That gets you no shipping. That gets you no sales tax unless you live in the state of Texas. And they make a 5% donation of your purchase price to the Bulldog Excellence Fund. I wish more businesses did that. How cool is that? That they're willing to incentivize listeners of our show to make sure that Mississippi State puts more competitive teams on the fields and courts of play. It is an incredible incentive to do business with them. Even if you didn't have that, that's the place you need to do business. It doesn't matter what stringed instrument that you prefer. You can find all your needs and accessories met there, whether it's gig bags, cables, strings, anything you need stringed instrument-wise, you can find it at Koleto Guitars. And again, very proud to partner with them. The top 10 list will return on Monday. But that's kind of how things stand today. And again, I'm very, very proud to have that great company as an advertiser for our show. Absolutely outstanding service. All right, let's take a kind of look historically how things have gone. You know, State and Tennessee have played 37 times. Tennessee is 30-16-1 all time against Mississippi State. Now, I wrote about some of this stuff earlier this week. Tennessee won the first meeting way back in 1907, 11-4. Yeah, things are a little bit different back then scoring-wise. But then State put together a four-game winning streak. We didn't play that often. We played four times in a decade, just over a decade, and State won them all. Tennessee only scored a combined 7 points, and that came in the 1920 game against Mississippi State that the Bulldogs or the Aggies won 13-7. But you went 48-0, 14-0, 6-0, and then 13-7. So we felt pretty good about where things stood. And then from 21 to 23, we began to play a little more regularly. Tennessee wins the next three. State gets back to it in 1924. State wins that game 7-2. Defense pitches a shutout there, but you find a way to get things done. You lose in 25, and then that began a streak of five straight Tennessee wins. State's next win in a series came in 1948. The two teams didn't play for 14 seasons. We played in 34, didn't meet again until 1948. State wins that game in Knoxville, 21-6. And it's interesting, too, how many of these games were played in the state of Tennessee. When they weren't played in Knoxville, we played them a lot in Memphis. Of course, resources were a little more of a concern back in those days. But more times than not, we played this game in Tennessee, in the state of Tennessee, whether it be Knoxville or Memphis. In 1950, it was just the fourth trip to Davis-Wade Stadium. I guess we still called it the Athletic Field back then. And State wins that game 7-0. And again, we become more regular opponents throughout the 50s. And Tennessee kind of dominated it, but State did pick up a big win in Knoxville, 26-0 in 53. And then in 55, we get them 13-7 in Knoxville. Again, just it's incredible how many of these games. I mean, I'm just going to count here because it surprises me. So in 1950, we play in Starkville. And then 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 consecutive meetings were played in the state of Tennessee. After that 1950 victory for the Bulldogs, Tennessee did not return to Starkville until 1987. Yeah, let that kind of sit in for a second. You know, people think that sometimes we whine about these schedules of old, and maybe they incentivized us with some great capital to play these games in Memphis. Played a lot of times in Memphis. Played more in Memphis than we did in Starkville. 1990, we play them again. They blast us 40-7. 91, we nearly pulled off a big upset in Knoxville. We get beat 26-24. And who can forget that big 86 win? Don Smith, shiny moment. And then in 94, we get them back in Starkville, and we get them 24-21. Yeah, Kendall Watkins, of course, the video made the rounds for a long time. And then Tennessee puts together a six-game winning streak in the series, including the 1998 SEC title game, and we will remain the only Mississippi team to ever win the SEC Western Division, despite what some people put in their stadium. We actually got to see our team's name in the end zone of the Georgia Dome. The real thing is the real thing. And then back in 2012, State gets them in Starkville 41-31. That's State's last win in a series. Of course, that's the last time, and that's a shame. That's one of the reasons a schedule rotation needed to happen, is the fact that it's been 13 seasons since Tennessee has been here. We've been there twice. and lost both of those games. Of course, the one in 19 is one that really sticks in the craw. Jeremy Pruitt and Tennessee were on the ropes, and we kind of got them going after that. And I remember with Joe Moorhead walking off the field, I took a picture of Joe walking off with this, I don't know, it's hard to explain the look on his face, but it was like we knew we let one get away. And I told Dave, I said, this thing is not going to work out. And when it happens, that's the picture we use. And sure enough, we did. That is the picture we used. And then last year, of course, we make the trip up there and get beat 33-14, that we've already talked about. But considering that how long these two teams have been in the same conference, it's almost criminal how few times they played and then how few times we played in Starkville, Mississippi. So I really don't want to hear a lot of talk about, you know, let's just count them again. How many Starkville meetings? 1, 2, 3, 4. I know you enjoy hearing me counting. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. They have played in Starkville 10 times. That is absolutely ridiculous that a fellow SEC school in over 100 years of playing football would only visit Starkville, Mississippi 10 times. It's nuts, man. It truly is. It is nuts to think about that. The majority of these have obviously been played in Knoxville. But when it was our turn, more times than not, the games were played in Memphis. And maybe that was a big thing. Maybe people were excited about that. You know, maybe because it, you know, it was a bigger gate to be had playing the game in Memphis. You know, we were somewhat limited in what we could do in home games back then. But the reality of it is that I don't think it's fair. It's not. And there were a lot of people, obviously, in our athletic department that did the best they could under the circumstances, but kind of put our teams at times in non-advantageous situations. All right, next segment of the show brought to you by Campus Bookmart. I will be signing books at Campus Bookmart from 10 to 1 on Saturday. Come out and say hello. Would love to visit with you. The dude's still doing exceptionally well. And who knew, right? Who knew that book would do as well as it's done? But it's done tremendous numbers. And I appreciate so many of you. It's still on the bestseller list in Mississippi. Right at a year now. Crazy, man. It is. And I thank you guys so much. But you can come get books signed. If you can't make it in, you want to just order online, you can do that. Get it personalized however you like. I'm happy to do that for you. But it's interesting to me. Campus Bookmart is kind of one of those places that we huddle in pregame. The crowds have been tremendous when I've been in there recently. The best selection of Mississippi State merchandise in the area, perhaps in on universe. So when you're looking for Mississippi State apparel, gift ideas, everything you need to detail out your fan cave, you can find it at Campus Bookmart. If you can't make it to town to see their smiling faces, and I've been told that Susie will not behave tomorrow while I'm there, I would love her less if she did. But you can visit them online at campusbookmart.net. And by being a loyal Boneyard listener, we'll give you a phrase that pays, and that is BSR. That entitles you to free shipping on all orders over $75. Any order less than $75, absolutely incomplete. You know it's true. Treat yourself, okay? It's okay every now and again to get yourself something. You work hard, you put up with a lot of nonsense. It's okay to get that new quarter zip. It's okay. I'm giving you permission. I'm not giving you the money, but I am giving you permission. Don't feel any guilt about your situation. All right, let's look around the SEC. Notre Dame, number 22 Notre Dame, 1-2 Notre Dame. And yes, they have played some difficult teams. I give them credit for that aspect of it. I don't think they should be ranked, but that's my feeling. I don't think teams that are at week four with losing records should be ranked, but nobody asked me. But the Irish are 3.5-point favorite on the road in Fayetteville. And you got to think, man, this is a real turning point game if you're the Arkansas administration. And I said last week I didn't get the angst. Well, I do now. I think it's one of those things where a lot of people just kind of think that, you know, that game against Memphis last year is kind of a harbinger, or last week is like a harbinger of things to come because, man, the schedule only gets worse from here. They have now played they played three of their four non-conference games. They'll play Notre Dame this week. That will wrap up the non-conference slate. Then you go to Tennessee, you got A&M, Auburn, Mississippi State, at LSU, at Texas, and then you host Missouri, who is playing exceptionally well offensively. So you really begin to ask yourself, if you're a Razorback fan, hey, we're 2-2, and we've only played one SEC game. Lose that on the road at Ole Miss. So what game at this point do you look at and say we're going to be favored? Well, they may be thinking it's that Mississippi State game and we go up there next month. But the reality of it is, who knows what shape that team's going to be in. If they drop the next four, and that's certainly possible, they could be 2-6. And there won't be a lot of people there excited about the future of the Sam Pittman era. But I got the Irish winning this game. I think many of you probably agree. Utah State is at Vanderbilt. Vandy is favored by 23.5. And as one astute poster on Gene's page pointed out, and I haven't done the research. I'm accepting him at his work. But he says that Vanderbilt and Mississippi State are the only two teams in the SEC that have covered the spread in every game. And I think that's probably true. It's probably true. Utah State, 3-1 on the year. Their lone loss was on the road at A&M. They have done some interesting things offensively, but the quality of competition has not been great. So we're going to go with Vandy to win and cover, even with those 23.5 points. Vanderbilt offense playing well. They have played well. And I guess, again, getting Pavia back is big. Of course, State now has them as a permanent opponent for 6 years, along with Alabama and Ole Miss. But, you know, he won't be there. But Clark Lee's done a good job. And to suggest otherwise would just to be short-sighted. I mean, Vanderby has done some good things. But, man, they have put up some big numbers. Their lowest scoring game was on the road at Williams-Brice Stadium, and they won 31-7. And that South Carolina venue, Williams-Brice, is a tough place to play, especially at night. But they have absolutely obliterated non-conference competition. They will wrap up the non-conference slate with Utah State. We're going to take the Commodores to win and cover. LSU's at Ole Miss. Ole Miss is favored by 1.5. And as much as I hate to say it, I think Ole Miss wins this game. I think they win, and I think they cover. I think the LSU running game concerns are valid. I know that Ole Miss defensively is not what they were last year. It's going to be a packed environment. Nussmeier has been good, maybe not great. Ole Miss has been able to run the football, and they're the home team. We're going to take the Rebels in a bit of a minor upset. I think LSU is overrated at 4, and I think offensively they've had some real challenges. I hope they win the game, but if I take my heart out of it and look at this right now, who is playing better? I think it's fair to say that it's Ole Miss. And now they got Trinidad behind center. They're a better team without Austin Simmons at quarterback. And, of course, some of their dumb media people were suggesting he was a Heisman candidate. He may never play a meaningful snap again. Crazy how life works. And I remember, again, I had a friend of mine that's a big Rebel, and he says, man, you know, hey, they like this kid from Ferris State a lot. And I'm thinking, something must be rotten in the house of Austin Simmons. They're already throwing him under the bus. But you know what? Maybe they were telling us the truth. Maybe they're just a better team with him. Auburn's at A&M. I think this is an interesting game because of the half. A&M is favored by 7.5 points. Auburn offensively has been good at times and not so good at others. A&M, I don't know if you look at them and say, you know what, this team's going to be great. Because, of course, the biggest win they have is against Notre Dame, and it's still Notre Dame, but the Irish are 1-2. So you beat Texas San Antonio, you beat Utah State, and then you win against Notre Dame 41-40. Guys, they're averaging over 40 points a game. And so I think Auburn is going to find themselves in a bit of an offensive shootout. And I don't know if Jackson Arnold's going to have enough juice to get that done. And listen, I get what happened to them this week, last week was wrong. But if you are playing to your potential offensively in the, quote, Hugh Freeze system, it shouldn't boil down to a couple plays. It typically does, but it shouldn't. We talk about Tennessee at Mississippi State. Tennessee favored by 7.5. I'm taking State. I'm taking State to cover. I hope that we win, but I do think we cover. I think it's a much closer game than people expect. The over-under right now is 62.5. We'll see how things go. And maybe that's a pick with my heart, but I think Mississippi State has matured to the point that we can make this a very interesting game. and you're a big part of that too. Alabama is at Georgia. Not sure what to expect out of Alabama, and at times not really Georgia, but Georgia's favored by 2.5 at home. I'm going to take that. You know, Alabama has not been great in road games under Kalen DeBoer. They haven't been. And so, you know, we'll see how that kind of plays out. Of course, they lose earlier this year at Florida State. So, you know, the monkey's not really off their back in that respect. You know, we'll see how things kind of play out for them. But, you know, I think most people feel like that, you know, things are just not right in Tuscaloosa. I think that's fair to say. To be fair to Alabama, too, I mean, they were 2-2 in true road games last year, including that, you know, win at Wisconsin, 42-10. But you also had Jalen Milroe. It was a big eraser for you. And you lose at Vanderbilt. You lose at Tennessee. You do get the win against LSU, but then you lay an egg against Oklahoma. So 2-3 in true road games last year. And then in the neutral side game against Michigan, you couldn't do anything offensively. So I expect that trend to continue. So I feel pretty comfortable taking Georgia to win and cover here. Kind of a tricky win in Columbia. UMass is on the road at number 20, Missouri, and of course the Tigers are 4-0. And again, kind of showing that Eli Drinkwitz knows what he's talking about when it comes to offense, right? I thought they would take a bit of a step back this year without Brady Cook. They have not. UMass has been terrible. Of course, they're now part of the MAC. They lost to Temple 42-10, lost to Bryant 27-26. Kind of a solid mid-major baseball program. You don't hear much from them in football, but they beat UMass. And then they get shelled by Iowa last week, 47-7. I expect a similar type game. Even with all those points, I'm going to take Mizzou. I just think UMass just doesn't have the talent. And it's a home game. Kentucky's at South Carolina. Now, South Carolina favored by 5.5. This is kind of a tricky game, I think. And I think this is that one game in the SEC that is going to kind of be the difference in people having a good week and some having a great week. Gamecocks are favored by 5.5. They're also unranked. Kentucky is unranked. Kentucky's 2-1. South Carolina's 2-2. And both of their losses have been to SEC foes. I think being at home under the lights will help South Carolina. And, of course, getting some people healthy will help because they beat Virginia Tech, and again, Virginia Tech has not proven to be a very good team. They beat South Carolina State. They lose, and the offense kind of abandons them against Vanderbilt, and then they lose on the road at Missouri. No real shame there. But it's going to be an interesting stretch for Beamer Ball after this one. After the home date against Kentucky, you travel to LSU, you host Oklahoma, and then Alabama, then travel to Ole Miss, then travel to A&M. And then you finish up the slate with two non-conference games, Coastal Carolina and Clemson. So after this one, you got five straight top 20 opponents. I think it could be a scenario where Shane Beamer and those guys are really battling hard for bowl eligibility. And I think to keep that dream alive, you got to win this game. So I'm going to pick Shane Beamer and South Carolina to win and cover in this ball game. Because I think Beamer has kind of been at his best when his back's against the wall. So we're going to go with that. We're going to pick South Carolina. So again, you winners, Notre Dame, Vanderbilt, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, Mississippi State, at least to cover, Georgia, Missouri, South Carolina. So favoring the home teams other than Arkansas. You know how things work in this league. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. But that's your look at the SEC. We get back together on Monday. We'll kind of break down how it all came to be, and hopefully we have a good week. I've kind of been a little bit arrogant in my picks. I've been picking too many upsets because I'm so competitive trying to find a way to make things happen. This week, I'm just kind of going with what I think absolutely will happen rather than hoping that somebody like Sam Houston State could pick up a backdoor cover and a late touchdown. But we look forward to seeing you guys out at Davis-Wade Stadium tomorrow. Hopefully you can come be a part of that. All right, final segment of the show brought to you by the Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the best place to stay in the Golden Triangle when you're bringing a large group to town, and you should. It's well worth the time and effort and the investment. It's not an expense. It's an investment in your family or your friend group to get together and make some cool memories together, whether it's a ball game weekend or maybe perhaps you're coming in during the holidays and – You got some vacation time you got to use by the end of the year. Rather than just bankroll that, let's go take a trip. Maybe head to Starkville, take in a women's game one night, a men's game the next, or vice versa, and go to your favorite restaurants here in Starkville. But no matter when you want to come, it's open 365 days a year. And there's just something magical about having everybody under one roof. The older I get, the more that matters to me. Google the Stark Vegas Clubhouse. When you do, their Facebook page auto-populates. You can peruse all the amenities available to you and your guests. The full-service kitchen, the wet bar, the back porch area, the fire pit area, 6 bedrooms, 2 baths. Plenty of parking. It's the old renovated country club out past the Highlands off 182, just 5 minutes away from the Mississippi State campus. You can do your tailgating right then and there. That's a lot of fun too. Yeah. But the reality of it is, it's not just about what happens when you're away from the venue, it's what happens when you're there. It's a great time to get everybody together. And there's never a bad time to get everybody together and just kind of love on each other and let each other know that you matter. So it's a friend group, a family group. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse is for you. Now, in that Google search, some booking options are going to pop up. You can take the Airbnb or the VRBO route if you show desire. But if you want to save some money, book through the Evolve website and use promo code BSR10. That's Beautiful Steve Roberts and the number 10, BSR10, gets you 10% off your stay. Absolutely outstanding incentive to do business with them. The Stark Vegas Clubhouse, the premier place to stay in the Golden Triangle. All right, a couple more potpourri things before we get out of here. You know, we've got some recruiting stuff kind of going on, but things are largely quiet. I don't expect many more high school players. Now there'll be some adjustments, I think. But this is a huge weekend to get guys on campus and let them see how far we've come. Earlier this week, Rion Young, at my direction, reached out to the top 10 players in Mississippi. You know, we didn't get, but like T.J. White was like the only one of those guys that visited us. To kind of find out, you know, hey, are they paying attention to what's happening in Starkville? Are they still hearing from the staff? And you can go read that if you're a VIP member at jeanspage.com. But I think it's important when you have the big stage, when you have all the lights on you, like these are the weekends you want people to be here. And we got a great visit list. We do. But you want people to be here when the lights are shining the brightest, when you feel, hey, this is something that kids would want to be a part of. You want to promote your program and the progress of your program. And the fact that we're bringing guys into a sellout crowd, I think is very important. And that's where I think you guys kind of come in too. It's not just about creating a great home field advantage, but it is creating an incredible atmosphere that recruits want to be a part of. And so, you know, when we leave early, there's an impact there. I mean, guys get it, right? But the reality of it is, how many times did you guys get to hear and read about how much fun that Arizona State environment was? Whether it be baseball recruits or basketball recruits, there's so much of that that is basically marketing for our program that is rather organic, right? You spend the money, you get people there. And I was disappointed in the crowd last week. I was. And I know a lot of people are like, well, kind of gearing up for this. It's hot. You know, let me just tell you this. It's hot when you're on the res fishing. It's hot when you're dove hunting. It's going to be hot when you come see Mississippi State play in September at times. Not so much tomorrow night, so we expect a huge crowd. There'll be a lot of volunteer folks there, and we don't want to hear them, okay? I'm a firm believer is that opposing fans should be welcomed and seen and not heard. That's my feeling. So we need you to drown out with the cowbells anytime they start their stuff. Just shut it down. Shut it down. Simple as that. I want to remind you, too, that life is short in many respects, and death is certain. And so you got to make good decisions for yourself. We talked a little more about that stuff as of late. And this Tylenol thing blows my mind. It's like I'm just so determined to prove people wrong. Get the net, man. I mean, it's like be smart about these things. And there are a lot of things that happen. I'm not going to mention names, but we had a not related to Tylenol. We lost a student while I was out in Phoenix. And not anybody that I know. I think I've met this young man. I think. When I saw his face, it was very familiar, and I had shared on Facebook, you know, when he was missing. But man, I get so incredibly sensitive to all of this because I was that guy one day. And I just wish I could take them all in my arms and tell all these guys and gals, like, it's not always going to be this way. It feels like when you're 18 and 19, anything you do like feels just like it's going to be a life sentence. Like it's going to follow you the rest of your life. And in some cases, it does. But you recover from that. I mean, you know, and I share all the time in recovery, you know, we can't change the past, but we can change what it means. That's one of the most profound lessons that I've learned in life. And so, yes, this happened. But if you're able to overcome that, think about the other people you can help. And helping others is a huge part of the human existence, right? That's a whole, like the people that go to work, like in healthcare and stuff, that's a calling, I think. Some people, of course, kind of go into that thinking, well, that's where the money is. And I think they find out that the reward of helping others exceeds the salary. It's quite the benefit to get paid well for your efforts. But to know that you're doing things that matter is so incredibly significant. Some of the people that I know that are most miserable are people that make a lot of money doing jobs they hate. You know, as Mark Twain says, or said, that you know, a man that finds a job that he loves never works a day in his life. I think there's some truth into that. I mean, I love what we do. But it took me some time to find that. And so when you're 19 years old, you're 18 years old, and it's like, yeah, you do something silly, there are going to be adult consequences because you're of age. But a mistake like that is not the end of your life. At least it shouldn't be. And I'll be honest with you, one of the first things I did was I texted my youngest son. And I was like, hey, I just want to check in on you, make sure you're good, make sure you're making good decisions. And, you know, he's like, yeah, Dad, I'm doing all this. And I said, dude, I love you, and I don't want to outlive you. And that's probably heavy stuff when you're 20, right? I was married at 20, just so you guys know. But the reality of it is I think it's important for us to be very transparent with the young people in our lives, whether you're the parent, the favorite uncle or grandparent or whatever. We have to help equip them with the skills they need to transition into adulthood. You know, when you're a kid, it's like mom and dad just kind of takes care of everything. And if you do happen to run afoul of something, well, you're a juvenile, you get probation, got to go pay a fine, do some community service. When you get in trouble, you're a little bit older, it kind of stays with you, right? And there are a lot of young people, too, that, you know, transitioning into becoming a college student and understanding the pressure that goes along with that sometimes is very difficult for young people to take. And I don't know all the details behind this situation, but my heart goes out to this family because parents should never outlive their children. I know in an ideal world that's what would happen, but unfortunately that's not the case. And again, I'm in no way trying to suggest that I know what all the details were in this situation, but the reality of it is that you know, we've lost a young bulldog that had promise. And there's a family out there that is absolutely heartbroken right now over this situation. And I just would like to encourage you to be a very positive influence on the young people in your lives, whether that be checking in with them, whether that's buying them a gift certificate, you know, from Bulldog Burger Company or Eat With Us and letting them go get together with friends. Because, you know, I can tell you it was very difficult for me, as the book will attest, it was very difficult for me to kind of grow up. I guess I had Peter Pan syndrome, I think, you know. But I remember listening to Michael W. Smith's song, Place in This World, over and over and over and over and over, because that's how I felt. And if you don't know the song, let me encourage you to put it on. You know, you're looking for a reason. You're trying to find my place in this world. And that's how I felt. I felt so completely lost with no direction. You know, the only thing that I knew for sure is that I couldn't drink or use that day. That's the only thing I knew for sure. I knew at some point I'd be okay. I didn't know that it would be the next day, the next week, the next year, because you never know what life's going to bring you. But I knew at the bare minimum, I can't drink or use today. And if I don't do that, it's going to be a pretty good day. No matter what comes my way, I'm not going to amplify the negativity in my life by being involved in drugs and alcohol. And then there are some people out there that say, you know what, Steve, I don't have a problem with it. And you know what? Great for you. I was not as fortunate. And there are a lot of other people out there that are the same way. And the one thing that I would caution too is how we use alcohol and some of these legalized narcotics is as important as the use themselves. If we're using them to like mask pain, then all of a sudden it becomes a bit of a crutch. And then every time that you have some difficulty and adversity in life, well, what do you do? You're conditioning yourself to lean on chemicals. As we discussed kind of early in the show too, there are a lot of people out there, it's like, hey, you can't fix yourself, here's some medication. I think that's wrong. Some people disagree with me, and that's fine. I respect your opinion. I think it's a temporary aid. It's probably useful. I got on Lexapro in the beginning because my dad died. I feel like I needed it. You know, I was a guy that was kind of a depressive anyway and suffered with anxiety. And then it became just kind of part of my everyday life, and I had to change. But the reality of it is that's a lot different than what's happening these days. You know, I remember being a young person just, you know, trying to go out and find a knuckle bag or whatever, or just be able to go smoke a joint or something. And nowadays, that could be a death sentence for you because it could be laced with fentanyl. And you just don't know. You don't know what you're getting. If there was ever a time to get out of the drug game, it's now. Because the price is just too steep to pay. Because ultimately, you could pay with your life. And so again, if you're a person of any age, but especially a young person, listen to someone who has been there. I can tell you, whatever you're dealing with of the negative variety, it will not always be this way. Now, you may have to make some changes. You may have to do some work. There may be some things that you have to change in order to avoid the consequences that come with that lifestyle. But the reality of it is you are in charge. You are the pilot of the plane. You are not a passenger. You get to decide how this thing goes. And it ends when you're ready. It's not like somebody else is just going to pull you aside and say, okay, we're going to do an intervention. I mean, you see that stuff on TV, you think it happens all the time. It doesn't. It doesn't. There is no search party being formed to save you. It's important to understand that. You got to take some accountability for yourself. You got to walk your own way out of the woods. You do. And you know what? You can do it. You can. You can. And you may have to walk alone for a while. You might. But the truth of the matter is I don't think any of us ever truly walk alone. I do believe in the higher power concept, who I choose to call God. It may be different for you. But to believe that there is a plan, I don't believe in coincidences. You know, other people say, oh, that's just a coincidence. No, it's not. It's not. It may be the cycle repeating because we didn't pass the test the first time. I think it's important to understand that every day is a gift and every day is a lesson. And when you look at it that way, what can I do today to be productive? What can I do to help somebody else? What can I learn today? It's a great way to go through life. But when we go through being reactive in life, just kind of letting life happen to us, that's when the stress and anxiety comes. Take control of your life. All right, if you hadn't done so, go to dutynoblebook.com. You can get signed copies of all my sports titles, including the personal memoir, When the Bottom Falls. It's not a sports book, but it is a life book. And we sold some copies this weekend at a convention. Other people want to buy it, and they should. I've worked really hard on that book. And again, come float with us at True Rest Float Spa of Starkville, 662-268-7601. You can speak directly to my wife, Dana, who is a little bit tired today, but she's working. She's floating other people because that's what we do. We're here in the business of helping others. It's the science of feeling great. And we're excited to be a part of that. And come join us over at jeanspage.com, the Mississippi State affiliate for 247 Sports. Until next time, let's all live our lives in a way we make more friends than enemies and people can see a difference in the way we live.
As our 76th year in business begins, our mission hasn't changed. We're family taking care of families. At Sears Heating and Cooling, we're not plumbers or electricians. Nope, we're Central Ohio's heating experts. If you've been told you need a new furnace or have a bad heat exchanger, call for a free second opinion. You'd be stunned at how often we run these calls and nothing is wrong. Sears Heating and Cooling. Honest advice, fair pricing, and locally owned for almost 8 decades. SearsHeatingCooling.com.
Marriott Bonvoy is the official hotel partner of US soccer. Join Marriott Bonvoy today to get closer to the game with exclusive perks, unforgettable experiences, and benefits that go beyond the pitch. Spring Hill Suites, part of Marriott Bonvoy, offers complimentary hot breakfast and spacious all-suite accommodations, perfect for the whole team, with room for up to 6 guests. Make your next getaway a win. Learn more at springhillsuites.marriott.com.